I have three sermons. And I'm going to give you all three of them. They're all short. But the reason that I want to give three sermons is that I really want to make three separate and distinct points. And I think if I give one sermon, then somehow I have to subordinate. I have to make less one of the points to the other. Because one of the things that we always tell people when we train them to give sermons is really you have to have in mind one point, because after all, you can't make lots of points and think people will walk out thinking about all the different points you made. That's just not the way listening works. So I can't give you one sermon with 3 points. Instead, I'm going to give you three sermons with 1 point apiece. Here's the first sermon. It is a great danger to the Jewish soul when Jews cease to become ashamed of themselves. After all, it isn't as though 2 crazy or 3 crazy Jews kidnapped a blameless Arab teenager, burned him, were arrested, and it's over. There were calls for revenge on Facebook pages from Jews before all this happened. There have been other Jewish extremists that Jews have supported. There are still Jews, to the eternal shame of our people, that go to the grave of Baruch Goldstein and pray for him and consider him a hero because he gunned down 19 innocent praying Muslims. There are still Jews who think fondly of Meir Kahana, who was a cruel and violent man who did untold damage to the soul of the State of Israel, who, as Leon Wieseltier said about him, whose soul was the sum of his angers and who succeeded in the street because he belonged in the gutter. I remember going to a rally when I was in Israel that Meir Kahana presided over, and I have never seen a face twisted with such hate. And if we aren't ashamed of ourselves and we don't say that full stop, then we're forgetting what Hillel said was the centerpiece of Torah. When someone came to Hillel and said, "Teach me the Torah," on one foot, what did Hillel say? "What is hateful to you, don't do to someone else." That, he said, is the whole of Torah. The rest is commentary. Now go and learn. So no excuses. No, they're worse than us. No, we're doing it because we're pushed to the limit. When you beat your chest on Yom Kippur, you don't say, "But I want you to know, God, he's worse." If you didn't watch the video where Israeli soldiers beat and kicked an Arab teenager who was lying down, and you weren't ashamed, if what you said, which some people said on my Facebook page, for example, "Well, maybe he was throwing stones at them." Maybe he was. So what? That means that now that he's down on the ground, they should beat him and kick him? A kid who grew up in Tampa, Florida, who's a teenager, who's alone, who's a cousin of a kid who was just kidnapped by Israelis and burned and killed, and now he's being beaten by Israeli soldiers. If you're not ashamed, there's something wrong with you. These are Jews. And you can't always say, "We get to do whatever we want and be blameless," because they're bad. So no ifs, ands, or buts. Sherry Mandel, whose son was kidnapped and killed, she wrote an article in the Times of Israel, and this was her last sentence. "What matters now is we tell our children that Jewish nationalist extremism may be the worst thing that could happen to our nation." A woman whose own child was killed by Muslim fundamentalists. the mother of one of the kidnapped teens of Naphtali, who was taken and killed, went to the house of the Arab child who was taken and killed. Now, who do you want to associate with? The Jewish kidnappers or the Jewish mother? If you want to associate with the Jewish mother, then you have to be ashamed, disgusted, and condemn the Jewish kidnappers without any equivocations, without any buts. That's the first point I want to make. I was very proud of the New York Board of Rabbis. The New York Board of Rabbis issued the following statement: "We neither condone nor contextualize, but we unequivocally condemn the brutal murder of 14-year-old Muhammad Abu Qadir." So should we. So should every Jew. And if you don't feel that, then your Jewish soul is damaged. Okay, that's sermon one. Sermon two. Speaking of damaged souls, the world is insane. It's insane. Do you know how many children have been killed in Syria? 9,000. 9,000 children. But you hear the world's outcry about Syria? No. You know, I assume, that when Israel goes into Gaza to bomb, they not only distribute leaflets, but they send electronic messages: "We're going to bomb here, so get out of here." Do you know that? No other army in the world does that. So what did Hamas do? They put out a video that you can see on YouTube, I'm not making this up, that said, doesn't matter what the IDF says, stay in your house. Stay in your house. I saw Jake Tapper on CNN. If you didn't see this interview, it was fantastic. Fantastic. I'm proud to say he went to the same high school as I did in Philadelphia, Akiba Hebrew Academy. I saw him on CNN say to a Palestinian spokeswoman, "Why is it that Hamas wants their citizens to be killed and puts out this video?" To which she said, "Well, I haven't seen that video. Happy to send it to her." In the same interview, by the way, which is worth finding on his show called The Lead, it was tweeted by Jeffrey Goldberg, and I'll get back to Jeffrey Goldberg in a second. The same interview, he said, "Here's the difference. In Israel, the kidnappers were condemned. They're going to go to jail." He said, "I wonder if the kidnappers from Gaza will have a street named after them." We are dealing, as you know, with an enemy whose mainspring is hatred. That's what motivates. Because if it wasn't hatred, Gaza would look very different. And here, I go to Goldberg. Jeffrey Goldberg, who has been to the synagogue many times and is a friend, and writes for Bloomberg and for The Atlantic magazine, talks about a discussion he had with the head of the Iraqi Kurds. He says, "This is what Barham Saleh, the former prime minister of the Kurdistan regional government, said to me. He said, 'Compare us to other liberation movements around the world. We're very mature. We don't engage in terror. We don't condone extremist nationalist notions that can only burden our people. Compare what we've achieved in Kurdistan to the areas of Palestine National Authority. We spent the last 10 years building a secular, democratic, civil society. What have they built?" So too, Masoud Barzani, the president of the Kurdistan regional government, told me, "We had an opportunity to use terrorism against Baghdad. We chose not to. The Kurds are worthy of our support and our admiration, and I hope that now that they have carved out a part of Iraq, they will have a state." They built a state, not a terror infrastructure and an army and a rocket launching pad, but a state. The Israelis, writes Goldberg, allow me to read you a little bit more, did not impose a blockade on Gaza right away. It came later, when it became clear that Palestinian groups were using their newly liberated territory as a launching pad for attacks. In the days after the withdrawal, I remember this. I wonder how many of you remember this. The Israelis encouraged Gaza's development. A group of American Jewish donors, American Jews, paid $14 million for 3,000 greenhouses left behind by expelled Jewish settlers and donated them to the Palestinian Authority. They were looted and destroyed, serving until today, says Goldberg, as a perfect metaphor for Gaza's wasted opportunity. You know what they've gotten better at? They've gotten better at developing longer-range missiles. Not at building resorts in Gaza. After all, the water's right there. If it was a different government, you would be vacationing in Gaza. I'm serious. You could. But that's not who we're dealing with. And it is part of a wider culture, as you know. What state in the Arab world would you willingly be bordered against? Syria? Iraq? Iran? Increasingly, unfortunately, Turkey? Jews are good at a lot of things, but one thing we are lousy at, we're lousy at picking enemies. We pick the worst enemies. We do. The people who hate us, they are ruthless. You know, it's true that there's a war now. But, again, in that same interview, Tapper said to the spokeswoman, Hamas has launched rockets every month for the past 10 years, over 8,000 rockets. To which she says, first, I think you got your facts wrong, which he didn't. And then she says, well, it's a lot of rockets, but if you look at the fatalities, it's not. And that's true. Because Israel doesn't say stay in your homes while the rockets fall. Because actually a fatality is not considered a martyr to rally around, but a loss. So it is very hard to look at the news reports and to listen to them and to keep up your spirits when you know that the people against whom you fight have no ethic other than to kill you. That is their ideal and their hope, and that the politics of hatred and resentment, which feel good, are what they wish for. That's sermon number two. Sermon number three is that the greatest Jewish sin is despair. Let me tell you one phrase that I think no Jew should say, even though we've probably all been guilty of saying it at one time or another. They'll never change. They'll always hate the Jews. We'll never have peace. You're not allowed to say that. If you want to say we won't have peace for 1,000 years, okay. But you can't say never. If you want to say it takes a long time to change the mentality of a people, especially when parts of that mentality are primitive and vengeful, I'm okay with that. But the most common Jewish prayer is for shalom, more than anything else. And we aren't allowed to pray something for something all the time if we think it's never possible that we'll have it. Let me remind you, if I had said to you 50 years ago the following phrase, maybe say 70 years ago, the following phrase, you know, a lot of Israelis are moving to Germany, you would have thought I was crazy on both sides. First of all, what are Israelis? And second of all, if there are such things as Israelis, the last place they're going to move is to Germany. But there is no eternal in the way human beings feel. It doesn't work that way. Remember when people said Northern Ireland and Ireland associated with the UK, they will never, ever, ever have peace. The Protestants and the Catholics, they will fight each other forever. Don't forget, a lot of medieval history is about Protestants and Catholics fighting each other, killing each other, hating each other. It tore Europe apart for centuries, but it ended. So don't say, oh, Muslims are like this, they will never change. Nobody is like this and will never change. That's a slander on the human spirit that God made. People change. There are more Muslims in India than any other country. Did you know that? It's not the largest Muslim country, that's Indonesia. But there are more Muslims in India than any other country. Not very many of them have much interest in going and attacking Israel. Things change. And therefore, we have to work for them to change. One of the reasons people will say nothing will ever change is because it relieves them of the responsibility for caring and working. If you say, oh, they're always going to hate us, then you never have to have a dialogue, you never have to have a discussion, you never have to try to make the case, you never have to see if things can change, you can just be done. But we're not allowed to be done. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor, said Rabbi Tarfon a couple thousand years ago. You don't have to finish the job. But lo ata ben chorin li batel bimen. But you are not free to stop doing it. You can't be done. You can't despair. You have to still care for peace. So, allow me to recap. If anybody asks, so what did the rabbi talk about this morning? You can say, well, he gave three sermons. One is we should be ashamed and work for the betterment of the Jewish soul. The second is we have terrible enemies. And the third is we can't give up. And then he ended with a prayer. If you have your pew bulletin, please take it out. The inside insert, you will see a prayer for the Israel Defense Forces. And I hope you will read it together with me. And let us hope that God listens. A prayer for the Israel Defense Forces. Let's read together. As God blessed our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, may God bless the fighters of the Israel Defense Forces who stand guard over our land and the cities of our God, from the border of the Lebanon to the desert of Egypt, and from the Great Sea into the approach of the Arava, on the land, in the air, and on the sea. May the Almighty cause the enemies who rise up against us to be struck down before them. May the Holy One, blessed is God, preserve and rescue our fighters from every trouble and distress and from every plague and illness. And may God send blessing and success in their every endeavor. May God lead our enemies under our soldiers' sway, and may God grant them salvation and crown them with victory. And may there be fulfilled for them the verse, "For it is the Lord your God who goes to battle with you, your enemies for you, to save you." And let us say, Amen. And may God bless the land with peace.